instruction will help somebody. May you be the one that it will help today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Apostle Paul is calling the attention, our attention to something. Our fathers here is talking about the movement from Egypt to the promised land. There was a message. God sent his servant, Moses, to go to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, what was the message? Let my people go. Let my people go. Hallelujah. And his people left. Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world. We heard the gospel, the good news. And we have left Egypt. We have left the world on our way to the promised land. Where is the promised land? Where is our promised land? It's heaven. The rapture is our promised land. What a journey from earth to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, but all of them that left, this is the emphasis, all that left in that revival, it's not every one of them that entered the promised land. They all had the good news. They all had the message. Apostle Paul, in this passage we are reading, is trying to make us see that it's not everyone that left that made it. So it's not just enough. Okay, let's finish the reading. Because he said they all passed under the cloud. They were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, that manna that fell from above. And did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock is a type of Christ, because that rock cannot be literal Christ. You have to understand the Bible. So all of them were baptized. So many of us here, you understand what I mean. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as we are some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and we are destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and we are destroyed of the destroyer. Now verse 11 is important. Now all these things happen unto them for what? Examples. And they are written for our admonishment, for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh is standard take heed lest he fall. Lest him that think is stand. Because you think you have received fire. You think you know mystery. You think you see vision. You prophesy. You heal the sick. You're a preacher. You are in a revival now. Miracles, signs, and wonders are taking place by you. Hallelujah. You know the mystery of eternal security. Once saved, forever saved. Hallelujah. You know everything. You have been baptized correctly in the name of Jesus. You now think you stand. Apostle Paul is saying the story of what happened between Egypt and the promised land, he said, is there as an example for us. Therefore, if you think you stand, he said, take heed lest you fall. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. And I always say something, that a true revelation, correct revelation of who Christ is, a true experience with Christ, a true experience with Christ, there is something it produces. At least two basic things it will produce. Number one, it produces the fear of God. Anybody that has truly caught a revelation of who God is, it doesn't make you to act anyhow. It makes you to fear God. Not the fear that he will kill you. Not that type of fear. The fear you fear an enemy. It's not that type of fear. But the fear that brings reverence before this God. You suddenly recognize how mighty he is. How glorious he is. You suddenly recognize how mighty this great, his greatness. And the second thing he does, because of the knowledge of God, you suddenly discover you are nothing. Therefore, it makes you to be humble. If you are not able to achieve these two things, you have not yet met with God. You have not yet met with God. The first thing it does is it makes you fear him. You will fear God. And secondly, and it is that fear that once you know it is God that has spoken something, it's a commandment of God, you don't question, you don't ask, you just obey. And then it takes away pride from you. It takes away pride. Hallelujah. I say, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall. Because were they not Jews? They were Jews. Were they not covenant children of Abraham? They were in Egypt. They all left in that wonderful revival. But not all of them made it. Remember, almost 2 million of them in that generation that left Egypt. Among that generation of 2 million, among that generation, how many of them enter the promised land? How many? Two. Only two out of almost 2 million people that left the wilderness. I mean, that left Egypt. They perished in the wilderness. Only two. Then you understand. A statement like Jesus Christ made in Matthew chapter 7, he said, strive to enter. Strive to enter. Strive to enter. Then you understand the statement the Lord Jesus Christ said, many are called, but few are chosen. It's important. Very, very important. And from various angles, we pick characters in the Bible that will help us understand what it is to take heed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because they are there for example for us. Let's look at Jude. The book of Jude is just one chapter. We're going to look at three characters and learn something from those three characters. Jude mentioned them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read from verse 1. It's a Bible study, so let's just be patient to read. Let's always learn to be patient to read. This is how Jude put it. From verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Hallelujah. Which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 3 there is very, very important. He, Jude, was writing something. He said he was exhorting us that we should earnestly contend. Contend there, it connotes fight, resistance. For the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the faith that was delivered unto us is this, is here in the Bible. This New Testament Bible. That is the faith that was delivered to us by the apostles. When you say contend for it, it means there will be an attempt to take us away from that faith. So he's saying contend for it. Hallelujah. Make sure nothing takes you away from that faith. Don't. It is the plumb line. It is the compass. Hallelujah. It is the standard. It is the ancient landmarks. Hallelujah. The landmarks that our forefathers walked on this terrain from earth to glory. But along their journey, they knew that we shall be coming behind them. And so that we shall not miss road, they left landmarks that we are supposed to follow. Hallelujah. From earth to glory. The same pathway they follow to heaven, we don't know any other way. And there's no any other way. It is that same pathway that we follow. That's why the book of Proverbs said that we should not remove the ancient landmarks. It is another. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. They are important for this journey from earth to glory. You need that emphasis to understand why you must contend for the faith, as Jude is putting it. And this is the reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jude, the apostle, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Why he said we should contend is verse 4. For there are certain men crept into the church, crept into the gospel, unawares. Amen. But he admits, he said, who we are before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning the gospel to lasciviousness here, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just perversion of the gospel. It's another word he uses. Lasciviousness now is perversion of the gospel. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Hallelujah. It's going back to something that happened even before man was created. And from that time till now, those angels, because they refused to remain in their estate, where God says stay, they removed and went somewhere else. They have been in chains till now. How many years? We don't know. But thousands of years. Imagine somebody in chain for thousands of years. Why? Because of disobedience. Verse 7. It's reminding us again. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That is, that fire that Sodom and Gomorrah received. Why did they receive that fire? Why did God burn them up with fire? They were living a life of wantonness. They were living a life of fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all manner of sexual perversion. And Jude is telling us, that fire that burnt them is just an example of another fire that is awaiting every other fornicator. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And one thing with man is, the Bible says something. It says, We are angels afraid to tread. He said, men, we come with spike shoes. Cack, 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 cack. Man. Man. Why? Because the conscience is dead. The conscience of man is dead. Satan has ensured that conscience of man is dead. Dead. No more fear of their maker, their creator. No more fear. Hallelujah. Something happened and I got very angry this morning. I got very, very angry. I was very upset. And the way I was getting angry, I knew I was doing something wrong. I shouldn't be angry. Now, I didn't exhibit anger. It's just that feeling within me. I felt that as a Christian, I shouldn't feel that way. And I knelt down and I was telling the Lord that patience you, God, you have, that your own creature that you created are messing up with you. Some say you don't even exist. Some are abusing you every day. And you don't strike them. What? You just stay and watch them. I say, Papa, give me that same patience so that I won't be angry when I shouldn't. Amen. Because the conscience of man is dead. No more fear of their maker. No more fear. See, don't think that people are going to church by the millions, thousands and millions because they fear God. No, it's just religion. It's religion. Nothing more, it's religion. It's not because of fear of God. Praise the Lord. How many people, even here this night, okay, let me not use this night. How many people on Sunday, how many people leave their homes to go to church any day at all? Because they are going to church because I have a maker, I am going to worship him. I have a maker and I'm going to worship him. You see? I was telling somebody else when the car was, we're coming to church. I saw a text message of somebody in my phone. And that young man saw God, met with God in this same ministry, received deliverance. His life again was reshaped. God was, you know, putting his pieces together. And as soon as he stood again, we will not see him again in the church. I mean, he's a soldier man. He's a military man. I mean, he saw God raw. He saw God raw. He saw God. God showed him he loved him. He came to church one Sunday. And a prophecy, revelation came forth. If you are a military man, a police, come out. we see armed robbers killing people on patrol. He was among those that came out that day and they were anointed. The very next day, he came and gave the testimony. Armed robbers met them on the patrol. What do you call that? Operation Sweep. I think that's what Marwa used to call them in those days. Operation Sweep. He was among them. He said that the man by the right, his right, was killed. The one by his left was killed. The soldier was killed. He said those armed robbers came and when they reached that checkpoint, they just opened their machine gun. All on them like that. He said he doesn't know what pushed him to the gutter. But everyone else died that were around there. He was the only one that was alive. He came and gave thanksgiving. How much more do you want God to show you he loves you? Such a person, after some time, we didn't see him again in the church. He disappeared. Look for him for months, for 2 years, he was not coming to church again. And one day, I saw his children and I wanted to see him. He came to my house. I said, brother, why are you no more in the church? He says, sir, I have gone back to the world. He said, well, I'm not coming to church because I know if I enter church, back, then go pick me up. I know one prophet go pick me up, then go see him. That is why I know they come to church again. What do you mean you've gone back to the world? He was telling me in my house, say, sir, I've gone back, I'm smoking a go again. And I'm womanizing. Well, hallelujah. I encourage him to tell him, if you repent, God will still forgive you. But he left, he never came back again until a strange sickness has come upon him now. 3 years ago was when I saw him. And now he has appeared. And he has strange sicknesses all around him. And I saw his text today. He's telling me that he's in the hospital and they say he has HIV. Praise God. You see? Now, I'm not saying this to laugh at him, but when I saw it and I was telling somebody, I said, now you don't walk with God like that. Now you are crawling to come back because you need help. You want God to save you. You don't treat God like that. Don't relate with God only when you need something from him. Your earthly father, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your earthly father, a good child, will you remember your father only when you need something from him? Don't you have time to prove to your father you love him? Don't you take time, lose every opportunity to show your father you love him, you appreciate him? Until Oyibo people have what they call Mother's Day and Father's Day. Why do they do that? A time for you to stand and reflect on the importance of fatherhood and motherhood. It's true. Praise the Lord. I was reading the newspaper. This one of these controversial preachers, Tunde Bakare. There's this interview a newspaper gave him this week. One of these magazines. He was blasting everybody. But the nonsense that is going on in Christianity, at least to the level he knows. But there's something he mentioned there, which I just learned something there. It's talking about his mother. He was talking about, payment of tithes and offering. And he said that he does not believe, and I agree with him, that you should force the people to pay tithe. Because he believes that tithe is supposed to be done free will, free. When Abraham, why I say I agree with him is, when Abraham met Melchizedek, was he under the law? There was no law. Did Melchizedek say, hey, where's your tithe from this one? Where did they come now? Where's your tithe? No. What made Abraham to pay his tithe? Because he appreciates what I have. Without you, God, I can't have it. Therefore, take your own. And I believe that if you are going to pay your tithe and pay it grudgingly, there will be no reward. And I believe that is the reason why some people pay their tithe, but there is nothing to show for it. Because the understanding, the spirit that goes with the payment of that tithe, you are not paying that tithe willingly. You are paying it by compulsion. If I don't pay now, God will say, something will happen. So God, take you. May nothing happen. I don't pay you. Take you. May nothing happen. Take you. And that is why so many people don't have reward. They pay their tithe regularly. But why are you paying the tithe? You are paying the tithe so that trouble no go come. Now, if you pay your tithe like that, you don't get the right result. Now, Tunde Bakare made a statement there. He said his mother, is almost 90 or almost getting 100 years old or so. He said he was a small boy when his own father died. So it was the mother that brought him up. He's who he is today. It is his mother that single-handedly brought him up. So he said the first allowance when he will first receive income was when he was receiving 200 naira as NYSC, in NYSC. During NYSC, at that time he finished. They were paying NYSC people 200 naira. He said out of that, 250 naira every month he was giving his mother. And of course he was saying, of course, it has increased now. He said, why? Was he giving her that? He said he has put her on a permanent monthly allowance. Now, was he doing that because the mother demanded it? He was doing it, why? In appreciation. It's an obligation now. I am who I am today because this woman labored and kept me alive. Therefore, I must show my appreciation. And I give it to her. Make her happy. This out of my income, this amount is my mother's own. This amount, that is how it is with God. Praise the Lord. But not too many people have this revelation because all their relationship with God is a contractual relationship. It's contract. And I see it in text messages you sent to me. Some of you. Pastor, I pay my tithe regularly. I made a vow. I went that time during vow. And my mother said, I came and I paid. Then why has my condition not changed, Pastor? So it's by contract. And such a person will soon stop going to church if that condition doesn't change. You go and look for any shrine where if I give this to the high priest, something will happen. He will go to that shrine. Now, when you approach God like that, hallelujah, you will miss him by a million miles. You'll miss him. You don't approach God like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers, those who crept into the church, they are those he's still describing. Filthy dreamers defile the flesh. He's identifying them. Despise dominion and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet, I'll come to that later. Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now verse 11 is my emphasis in this chapter and this book. He said, woe to them. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Three characters we shall look at. And we're looking at them tonight. The first one is Balaam. The first one is Cain. The second one is Balaam. And the third one is Korah. Now, but watch it. Not just the totality of these characters, but an aspect of those characters. The Cain, he said, the way of Cain. It means there is the way of Cain. Praise the Lord. And we shall look at that way. Hallelujah. Then he spoke about running greedily after the error of Balaam. So we shall look at the error of Balaam. And then he spoke about the gainsaying of Korah. We shall look at also the gainsaying of Korah. So these three characters in the Bible, and I call them the three groups of Christians in the church. That's our topic. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. The three groups of Christians sitting down. And these are people who are supposed to have left Egypt for the promised land. But this is what was responsible. And they fell by the wayside and couldn't make it. And he said, these stories are there as an example for us. So it means we can learn from their failure so that we will not fail like they failed. That's the whole essence of the admonishment today. And the first one we look at, praise the Lord, is the way of Cain. That's number one. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is self-will. That is the way of Cain. Self-will. In Genesis chapter 4. Let's read it. So this is Bible study. Let me not just make a reference. Genesis chapter 4. It says, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain first brought his own. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And we know the rest of the story. Praise the Lord. Now the aspect here, I say self-will. Self-will. See what happened here. Abel, and Cain, they all brought sacrifice. One brought it in a certain way, Abel. And his own was accepted. Cain, in his own imagination and his own understanding, he brought his own also. But God rejected his own. What he's supposed to do was to go and find out, why is my own rejected and my brother's own accepted? That's what he was supposed to do. But instead, his countenance fell. He was putting on a frowning face, feeling unhappy. And now, God now said, if you also do the same thing your brother did, I will also accept your own now. Why are you getting angry? But what happened? Instead, he still stood on his own. That is what I mean by self-will. Self-will. You've decided, you made up your mind. Not even God can change it. That is the way of Cain. That is one way of Cain. There are two ways of Cain. The first one I'm looking at now is self-will. Self-will. And a Christian, a true Christian, hallelujah, must come to an estate where you subject your own will to the perfect will of God. Every true Christian, hallelujah, you must subject your own will. Your own will must be buried in the will of God. Yes, now. Every true Christian wants to walk in the perfect will of God. In the perfect will of God. If your own will clashes with the will of God, your own must give way for the will of God. And we have a perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Because in Matthew chapter 26, the time for his crucifixion was drawing near. He went with some disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. Hallelujah. He went to intercede there, knowing the horrible death that he was going to pass through. Knowing it. Praise the Lord. There's a reason why God doesn't show us how we shall die. There are some people, if you know how you will die before that time. Amen. If you know how you will die. So God makes sure he doesn't show anybody how you will die. Hallelujah. William Branham, all that God showed him, William Branham as a prophet, God showed him he will die. God showed Peter he will die. God showed Paul he will soon die. For Peter, he was sure. He said his time was drawing near. He was sure time for him to go had come. William Branham said, God, he said, I saw my end with a bang. That's all he said. All he knew was that there was a bang. He saw in the revelation a bang. Bwah! And he died. That's all he saw. But how the bang will come, he didn't know. In December 1965, he was driving along the road. He saw something was coming along the highway in the night. It was a truck. He didn't know it was a truck with one eye. Maybe he thought it was a motorbike. And then he drove head-on collision with his car. Bwah! That was how he died. In a bang. Hallelujah. Well, you and I, we don't know how we die. God will never show you how you will die. If you see, you dream how you die, it's just God telling you, giving you a prayer point. See how they want to kill you, cancel it. So don't accept it. You say, I see myself, I die for dream. For dream, I die. And then every time, then stand up and you write your will. Say, I know, say, I go die. Don't accept it too. Anytime you dream, you see yourself dead. Just stand up and cancel it. The word of knowledge, God is showing you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Jesus Christ was pained in the spirit by what he saw he was going to go through. And so the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. Can we open it? Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. After his first prayer in verse 39, and he went a little further and fell to his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." He went further in verse 42 when he went back a second time. Verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Thy will be done. There is nowhere you ever saw Jesus Christ complaining or murmuring. No. He came, he knew, he came to do the Father's will. And every one of us, born again Christians, we are born again to do the Father's will. And all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. We are called to fulfill God's purpose. And God's purpose, hallelujah, for me may not be God's purpose for you. And every one of us has a purpose to fulfill according to God's sovereignty. And you need this revelation so that you don't compare yourself with anybody. To fulfill God's purpose in my life, he can cause my wife not to have a child until after 20 years. To fulfill his purpose. He alone has that purpose. To fulfill his purpose in the life of Job, one day he allowed all his wealth, all his children to be wiped away. To fulfill God's purpose. To fulfill God's purpose. I'm saying somebody who has a right standing before God. I'm not talking about people who are paying for their sins. There are some sufferings you are going through. You know you are paying for your sins. You know. I'm talking about people who are doing all their best to serve God. To fulfill God's purpose, sister, you have remained chaste. You have refused to defy yourself. You have remained, steadfast in your faith with God. You have checked yourself. And you know there is no reason for whatsoever to face any frustration. And yet, you are almost getting overaged and no man has come for marriage. Yes, it can be God fulfilling your purpose, his own purpose in your life. And any true Christian will not grumble. You will not grumble. You will not grumble. No murmuring. No murmuring. No murmuring. Thy will be done, O Lord. Thy will be done. Thy will be done, O Lord. I've been serving you faithfully. And then you want to compare yourself with one prostitute that just came to church. Bah, bah, bah. See, four men are struggling for her. And me that have been in Christ, see, why is my own condition like this? Thy will be done, O Lord. When he was teaching us to pray, praise the Lord. Our Father, he said, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, what you have determined for me in heaven alone should take place in my life on earth. Thy will be done on earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is God's will concerning every aspect of your life. Concerning marriage, there is God's will. But you have your own will also concerning marriage. For instance, God's will is that you should not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. God's perfect will is that a Christian should not marry an unbeliever. But you have your will to reject that. I say, no, this man get money. Me, I don't suffer. I don't suffer. I don't suffer again. God, me, go understand, though. My mama suffer, my papa suffer. This man won't come now to change my family. You know, they go to church. And after, now I go pray for him. After, he go, I will lead him to Christ. That is your will now. That is your will. Praise the Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's perfect will for your business. That's God's perfect will in everything you do, Even in the ministry, there's God's perfect will concerning ministry. In the area of your calling, there's God's perfect will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And a perfect example also of the way of Cain. The way of Cain is 1 Samuel chapter 15. Can we open it? It's the story of Saul. We all know it, but it's a Bible study. Let's just refresh ourselves with it. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Hallelujah. Are we there? I'll read it from verse 1 so that we just catch the story, because some people don't read the Bible until they come to church. So if you never read this story now, where are they reading? Where are we reading now? So if I just mention it, they won't get the impact. They never read them yet. But they get Bible, but no time to read. From verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he led wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Anytime I read this story, I want every one of you to know that in your journey of Christianity, in your Christian faith, as the Lord is leading you through, in that journey, everyone that disturbs you, in the time of your trial, in the time of your temptations, God is proving you, God is training you. While you are waiting for God's appointed time, they are mocking you. You don't old finish, you don't get a husband. They are mocking you. Every day they go to church. They are mocking you. They are mocking. You know how they do it. Don't worry. One day, God does not forgive that thing. I hope you know it. These Amalekites, at the point of the children of Israel coming to pass, they frustrated Israel that they should not pass through their land. They disturbed Israel. It's in the Bible. And God was looking at them. Now he wants to revenge. He got Saul, the king of Israel. He said, I remember, praise the Lord, that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay, now watch the instruction. Slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass, that is including all the animals they own. Every human being, wipe all of them, come out. That was the instruction. Is God wicked? Are you sabi? You say yes now. Are you sabi? Let me tell you something that you may not know. Somewhere in the Bible, I think it's in Isaiah also, the Lord said, of the whole earth, he said his only inheritance is who? It's Israel. In Mark chapter 4, is it Matthew chapter 4? Jesus But the Satan took Jesus to a mountain and showed him the whole world. He said, all these things you are seeing, he said, they belong to him. So that you understand why God said, of all the earth, the only inheritance he has, he said, is who? Is Israel. In another portion, he said, Israel is his first son. Who is his second son? It's you and me. The Gentile bride church. Praise the Lord. We are the second. You have to know the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's true. And so, every unbeliever, as far as God is concerned, every unbeliever is like fowl, an animal, and firewood before God. The only thing he ever values are his covenant children. And so, he told Saul, go and wipe all of them so that there will be no nation called Amalekite again. Why? Because I, who am supposed to be the landlord of the earth, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, carry my own children. They pass. You stood to disturb them. That's why he says the battle belongs to him. Leave the battle to belong to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, they got to the promised land one time. And the Amorites were disturbing Israel. They will not let them rest. And it looks as if God folded his hand and was looking at them. And the children of Israel were crying. I could go and stay there. They see these people, they worry us like this. Nobody used to make we come here. And God told them that he allowed the Amorites because he was waiting for the cup of the iniquity to be full. Hallelujah. He was waiting for the cup of their iniquity to be full. When they are full, when that cup is full, then he will arise. Say, it don't do. And when he rose up. See, all that is an example for you and for me. The enemy is disturbing your life now. Treating you anyhow. And it looks as if God is not hearing your prayer. Have you not prayed and say, God, you stay there, they look this woman, they dream me with her. God, you stay there, they look at him. If they look at her, he's waiting for her cup to be full. That's the God we are serving. Okay, let's see what Saul did. That was the instruction given to Saul. Verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, there is another tribe there. God sent him to Amalekites, so not Kenites. Go, depart. Get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. Why? For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Do you know that in Matthew chapter 25, do you know that there is a group of people there that will receive eternal life? Just because during the tribulation, after the rapture, when the Antichrist will be dealing with the Jews, as they will be running helter-skelter, they will hide them. I was naked, you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. They asked, when did we see you hungry and we fed you? Naked and we clothed you. And he pointed to his brethren, the Jews. And as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. And because of that, he gave them eternal life. God's sovereignty. And something about, he said, if you give a cup, just a cup of water, to any of these, my disciples, in the name of disciple, he said it will never go unrewarded. So it means also the opposite. If you deal with them, and you know they're my disciples, and you do evil against them, you will never go scot-free. That is the opposite. It's the opposite. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says you should pray for your enemies. Why shouldn't you pray for your enemies? Because the wrath of God that is coming upon them is too much. Leave him to fight. So the Kenites, because they showed mercy to them, they said, come out so that you will not be among those when we shall be dealing with them. Okay, let's read on. Hallelujah. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until that comes to Shur that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What did God say he should do to him? What did God say he should do to him? Kill him! But here he is. He took him alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatless and the lamb and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and he's gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, he saw the prophet, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Did he perform the commandment of the Lord? And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. He was expecting commendation, isn't it? And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to do what? To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. Ha! It is written there according to Apostle Paul for our example. It means we can learn something from there. If he did it to Saul, he can do it also to any of us. Can do it to any of us. As so many of you that are crying today, that the grace of God has been withdrawn from you. When God wanted to use you, you know what happened. Now, that grace, you can't find it anymore. Can't find it anymore. Can't find it anymore. I was discussing with my brother Matthew. Is Matthew here today? We were discussing. And I was telling him that I know better than to lower the bar of the gospel. What we stand for in this ministry, we will never utter it. We will never change. That is the secret of the presence of God in this ministry. He made a statement. He said, sure, whenever you see any of those mighty men of God before that you used to hear their names, why are you no more hearing their names now? Holy Ghost, they expire. Does Holy Ghost expire? Does anointing expire? Anointing, they fade. Does God, they change? It's true. Why was he on fire, fire, fire before? Now, you know, here again. Every one of them, search them, if they will be honest with you, they have disobeyed. They've gone off the track. And once you go off the track, he will step aside. He will withdraw his commission from you. He's looking for another person. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. It's an inter-message church. Hallelujah. In this city of Lagos, with a pastor, the pastor was instrumental to the revival that took this message to the east. He had an evangelical team in that ministry that went almost every big town in the east has an inter-message church that was established through that ministry. They are somewhere at the Bagada there. Very popular. In fact, that was the only link with our brethren overseas. He was the only one that was recognized in Nigeria here. Praise the Lord. He was the only one that was recognized here overseas. They want any inter-message something, he's the one. If you write any of those ministries outside, they will direct you to him. I wrote 1990, they directed me to him. A reviver. Somebody died there, they bring him back to life. Pastor Thomas was in that church before. Now from now, he come here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The dead will rise. The first time I visited them in 1990. Hey! This is like heaven to me. And then they were the biggest church. At least, they were over, they were close to about 2,000 as at that time. Members of that church. All of a sudden, things began to happen in that ministry. That the genuine seed of God started living. Things that you wouldn't expect to hear in an inter-message church. And when you go off the track, hallelujah. Once you go off the track, now those of you who know anything about shooting a gun. Now, when you have your target, you see your target. Oh, no, shooting a gun now. In map reading, in compass march, those of you who don't know anything about geography, in compass march, especially those of you in military or something. Now, when you use that compass, you are supposed to travel from point A to this place. This is the point you are supposed to locate. You are plotted, your bearing, you've gotten your grid references, that is where it's supposed to land you. And you take off and you miss the mark by 1 degree from here. Now, when you miss the mark by 1 degree, don't think that you are going to miss the target by 1 degree when you get there. Because that 1 degree is here. When you go by that 1 degree, this is how you will go. This is how you will go. The longer you go, the farther you are from the target. The longer you go, the farther you are from the target. Now, 1 degree, I land you here. So, just 1 degree where you miss. See where the thing they go. It don't redirect you. In that church now, if you speak in tongues, they will say, shut up, carry him out, carry him out. If you fall under anointing, they say he's possessed, take him out, take him out, take him out. They chase the Holy Ghost out of that place. That man now is a traditional ruler. I didn't say traditional title. I mean he's the king of his village. His car is put there in front. The coat of arms is that the Eze of what? Somewhere in India. Eze Kenese. I don't know where it's somewhere. Praise the Lord. Why I'm saying this? Hallelujah. I'm not yapping him because it didn't happen yesterday. It happened years back. And as soon as you vie off, the Holy Ghost will leave you. The only thing you now do to keep the people together, you will now be using idea and sense. What is keeping you people here now is the Holy Ghost. The reality of God, God's presence here, manifested here. You've seen it. You have seen the testimonies. You have felt him. You felt it. Certainly you felt it. I saw a sister that was with me on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? From this Thunder Church. Where are you? I know you're always sitting somewhere here. That makes me look here. It's true now. She came. She has, for the past 12 years, she has been in an intermessage church that don't believe in the gifts. They don't believe in the gifts. When something happened, she had to find herself now in this church. And she follows her to youth camp. Then she received the Holy Ghost. Now she's seeing vision. Now she's hearing voice. Now she's praying for people. They're receiving healing and deliverance. And I asked her, were you experiencing this in your former church? She said, for where? So what is keeping her here is that the experience she has had with God. Hallelujah. Now, but if the Holy Ghost lives here, the only other way I will keep you people here now is to use idea and sense. Sense. And there are plenty of sense to keep the people together. Plenty. And that is what is going on. Most of these churches, when the glory has departed. Now, Saul, hallelujah. Who was the person that saw? You sent me a text. In a dream, you saw me holding the flag of Nigeria. Who is the person? Is the person here today? You're not here? Eh? Who? Who was the person? He said, as it, he saw me in a dream. He sent me a text. He said, that, what does that mean? He said, he saw me holding the flag of Nigeria and waving it. And I replied, I said, you are the second person seeing that and telling me. Hallelujah. The person that was holding the flag of Nigeria before became a king. God removed it from him and brought it here. Spiritual people will soon understand. Praise the Lord. When you want to talk of an intermessage church in Nigeria now, hallelujah, that has allowed the Holy Ghost to glorify himself, it is this ministry. Don't worry, time will prove it to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he refused to obey, what happened? God removed the privilege he gave him from being a king. Who became the next king? Bible students. Who became the next king? King David. And God called David who? The man after his own heart.